Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Daily Journey. I'm so glad that you have joined us here today for another podcast where I'm doing two questions with friends today. Today's podcast is Friday, April 17, and I am joined today by Mr. Ken Filippini. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Scott.
So glad that you said yes to this.
Well, this is my first podcast that I've been on, so I'm very honored.
Well, don't be so honored. It's just you and me and maybe three other people who enjoy listening to this. So.
I can still add it to my resume, though.
That's true. You absolutely can. You absolutely can. Ken, why don't you introduce yourself for those of us who are listening at home? How would you describe yourself?
Well, my wife, Julie, and I live in Jamestown, and we have three grown kids who are all awesome and walking with the Lord. We spent most of our years in Michigan in Holland, moved out here about 3 or 4 years ago and found Jamestown. I'm in business. I do consulting work with a number of different folks, and it's really interesting and fun. I travel and meet all kinds of interesting people, and the last month has been very interesting for all of us.
Yeah, because you're not traveling now.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Not at all. So a lot of sitting in front of the computer and sitting on the phone is my guess.
Yep, absolutely right.
Yeah. And then how does Julie spend her time?
You know, she is just always busy doing a lot of things to keep our family going because my work tends to consume my time, so she really cares about
it. She runs the family, then, yeah.
She does, and she's very engaged in an appropriate way with our kids. She's connected with them. She supports them, talks with them. She has all kinds of things going on, and she does a lot to help me. So
Have you found yourself during the pandemic, you personally, more connected with your kids because the pace is different for everybody?
It's interesting. We do family game nights. We've done some phone calls and things. My son does come over with his dog, and their dogs play in the yard. We don't hang out together.
Oh, sure,
dogs play. Yeah. It's been fun from that standpoint. I can't wait till we can get together again, though.
Yeah. What was your family rhythms like before this? How often were you guys together? Did you talk to them?
Often. So two of my kids live in Hudsonville.
Okay.
So on Sundays, we would do family dinners a lot. My daughter, Rachel's in Chicago, but she would come home fairly often. And when I traveled, I would be in Chicago and I would stop and see her.
Sure,
So she hasn't been home much. This is a kind of an interesting stretch for her because it's Easter and then her birthday is next week. And she's spending both of in Chicago on her own. And we're trying to do some things to make that meaningful for her. We're going to watch her church later this morning together.
We're going to church together, right?
Exactly.
Yes. What's life in Chicago like for Rachel? How is it different than life here?
It's Chicago is a bustling place all the time, and really, she said, Dad, there was a picture of Michigan Avenue with no cars and a coyote walking across the street.
Wow. Okay,
so that tells you know, what it's like. She said it's literally shut down.
Yeah.
They're even stopping people from going to the parks, the lakefront. She doesn't really leave her apartment very much. She kind of hangs out and, you know, she has her roommate. They do some stuff together. She does game nights with us. She talks to us on the phone or FaceTime. But she is just,
she's doing the same thing we are.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would imagine that is even more noticeable, in a city like that. Like for me, living in a suburb, you know, where I live, it's like, I still see kids like running out in their yards and stuff, but, I can't tell a huge difference, although I can tell a difference, but for her, I would imagine she can see a huge difference in what it feels
like. Well, in her building, I think that there were a few folks, at least one for sure, that were diagnosed with the virus. So that, put the building on lockdown, extra cleaning, and all the rest of this stuff.
She's
ready for it to be done, too.
So tell me about when did this pandemic like come on your radar in a way that that made you pay attention to it? Because I think many of us, there was a conversation or there was a situation or there was a day that we were like, oh, this is a thing I need to pay attention to. Whereas the hour before, it was not even on your radar. What was that for you?
You know, I think when it really hit me was when they shut the restaurants down. Because then I realized that the world as we know it was going to be very different. It would be different relationally and socially, different economically. And that was just the beginning. That happened before we had shelter in place and all the rest of that.
Yeah.
And you know, you look around, and even today, we don't truly understand the impact of what's happened. Many businesses aren't going to reopen. That's really hard. A lot of folks are impacted by that. And then when the stay-at-home order hit, that was the next phase. Like, holy cow, this is like amazing.
Yeah.
Never in my lifetime or years have we seen anything like this.
Yeah. Like, and, there's nothing I have to compare this to.
No.
Right.
We went from a time of extraordinary economic growth and strength and all these things to literally be stopped on a dime. I can't even imagine. Who could even predict something?
Who could have even if someone would have like said, like, what if this happens and we just turn it all off? Like, nobody would have, that seems such a fantasy, but that's what we live in right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I have you on the podcast for two questions, and I'm very curious, Ken, as to your first question and what you might be bringing to the table today. So what do you got for me?
Well, so I thought about this for a while, and there's two questions I think that are really on my mind. The first one is, you know, we've talked about how all of us have been impacted by the shelter in place, by social distancing, by not being connected with others. And what's interesting is that God made us to be in a relationship with other people. That's why he put us together. You know, introvert, extrovert doesn't matter. We're relational beings.
Yeah.
And as I've thought about that, I wanted to ask you this question. You know, when this is done, what intentional changes will you make to be more connected to people, or to make sure that you're having regular interactions with people, perhaps differently than you did in the past? Because I think we've all learned a lot about what matters to us in this time.
Yeah.
Relationships are a big thing. You're a relational guy. Are there some things that you'll do intentionally, or your family will do intentionally after this as a result of this experience?
Yeah. I mean, because it's a little bit of like, we were taking it for granted ahead of time. Right. And now it's not a thing we take for granted. I think the first thing we'll do is send my kids to my grandparents' house for a month. And I think everybody would enjoy that. I don't know. You know, I am a relational guy, but I'm also an introvert. Like that actually takes energy away from me. At least in crowds, you know, Sundays are hard for me because it's a lot of people. I really enjoy this. Like I enjoy one-on-one conversations and engaging that way. So I think like I probably, in retrospect now, would take for granted that giving myself introvert space, there'll always be time for extrovert space. And now I don't necessarily take that for granted anymore. So I think probably one of the things that we'll do, one of the things we've enjoyed is trying to connect like with other couples and friends of ours, like over video Zoom and have a game night or have some conversation. Honestly, that might still be worth our time afterwards in a way like, it's hard for us to get our schedules together to be like, let's go over, let's go out for dinner, let's do whatever. But honestly, this might be the way to go in terms of like, hey, are you guys doing anything right now? You want to chat for like a half hour or something like that? I find myself really connected in those spaces. And that might be a great way to stay connected, even though we can still see each other after this is all done.
Sure.
Because our schedules have always been such that it's like, yeah, when you're trying to get together with another couple, it's not always easy to make that work. You got to plan far out in advance. So I wonder if there's more, the practice of more spontaneous interaction will be a higher priority for folks. And for me in particular to go, who can I connect with right now? And just like reach out and make that happen. Cause I will probably tend to feel like, they've got a life. Ken doesn't really want me to pick up the phone and call him right now. He's busy, you know, but maybe after this is over, like I get the sense Ken would also really appreciate being in contact with another person.
Right? Yes. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine for you, your relational systems have been impacted drastically, partly because you're really invested with people who don't live here. So you travel a bunch in your work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. How's that going to change for you on the other side of this thing?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So is, and I've thought about this a little bit. It's kind of like, you know, when you lose somebody in your life, you gosh, we'll just spend more time with them or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of that right now where I say, gosh, there's some people that I've wanted to spend time with that I haven't, or people that we're close to that we should spend more time with intentionally. Mm-hmm. Versus just saying, well, we're busy, we'll get to it. Well, right. You don't know when that opportunity might not be there anymore.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to think through what that looks like for me. I have a lot of relational interaction, but I think there's some relationships in my life that I need to be more intentional on in terms of making sure we spend regular time together. Because this has made me realize that that could end at any point. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't do the things I wanted to do and felt I should do.
Well, I'm reflecting too, use that word intentional. And in my head, I heard meaningful, right? Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that's been really helpful for me right now is just doing this podcast, because a few times a week, I can sit down with another human and have a conversation that's not about like the organization of our world in terms of like just managing the workflow of a day-to-day life, you know, but it's a meaningful conversation. And man, that's been really helpful for me personally to go, oh, having meaningful conversations moves me forward in my life and keeps me sane. You know, I started this podcast just doing it myself. Like, but then I'd like, it just caused me stress to think about, I gotta think of something meaningful to say every day.
Right.
It's a lot easier when I'm sitting with someone else to go, we're having a meaningful conversation and a connected conversation. So I would want to search out more intentional ways to prioritize what's a meaningful conversation I'm having today.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Even with your family, like Cindy and I still have to like sit down and like check in, even though we're with each other all day long, our conversations aren't naturally meaningful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are with you and Julie. I don't know.
Well, I think there is a degree of that. And I think, you know, the word meaningful is maybe in a better word than intentional.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things, like when you and I get together on occasion, I always appreciate the fact that our conversations are meaningful. Yeah. There's depth to them. It isn't just, we're talking about the weather and, oh, you know, my car needs an oil change or whatever. It's like, no, we've talked about some pretty significant things. And I always walk away from those going, wow, that was worthwhile. That was meaningful. It was an impactful conversation interaction for me.
And I think after this is done, like the biggest gift we can give to each other is pursuing meaningful conversations when the pace of our life changes again. Because it is a gift we give to each other. It's like, if there's anything I can do for Ken, it's show up, have breakfast with him, and like give myself to that conversation. And then we're both going to walk away blessed from it. So, you know, let's keep doing that as a people. And we're all in that spot right now. We have a topic that we can start with and then go from, you know, because you know what we're not talking about is, what's the college football schedule going to look like? You know, although I do wonder.
Exactly. But. Exactly. Right. Yeah. To find out soon enough.
I guess. And the other thing that I'm finding too is, man, we're all just doing our best.
Yeah.
Like college football, like I've heard different sports leagues talk about like, well, we're all going to ship all of our teams to Las Vegas and we're just going to play a short season there while we're together. And like, okay. But even people who are frustrated because our governor is making the decisions she's making, and they are extreme. Are they warranted? Like, I don't know. I'm not an expert, but man, here's what I do know. She's doing the best job she can do in the position she's, we all are, right? Nobody is making a decision to be reckless on purpose, right? Yep. Like we're all just doing our best. And so that's a good question. That's a good question. What's your second one?
All right, here's the second one. This is a little different take, but
awesome.
You know, we've talked about how the virus has impacted us and we're shut in and we're separated and all these things. But I'm curious, especially from your perspective as a pastor, talk about some of the amazing stories of goodness that you've seen in the midst of this, of things that people have done. You told me a story a while ago about your home. You had a flood in your home and a company came to do some work and they just waived the bill, said, nope, you know, you're a pastor, whatever. There are hundreds of those stories, but I don't think they get the attention that they deserve. And so we focus on people dying and being diagnosed and all these things. what are some of the things in that you've seen in your world as a pastor of just extraordinary goodness over the course of this?
Yeah, I mean, man, you put me on the spot with specific stories, but and you stole the one that was most personal to me.
Well, tell the story, though. I mean, yeah. You can tell it in your voice.
Well, I'll tell you that, I feel like I've talked about this a lot at this point, but this is like the only thing in my life that has happened is my basement flooded a month ago. But like I was trying to navigate cleaning that up and doing that. And I had Kevin Rosema come over, who's a friend of mine, and Kevin and Susan go to our church and they've been in our discipleship huddle. And Kevin came over to help me like rip up some carpet and do some stuff. And I called Susan because she runs a branch of Serve Pro on like north side of Grand Rapids. And I said, hey, what's your advice? And at what point do I need to call someone? And we talked a little bit. And after Kevin and I were a couple hours into it, I'm like, man, this is bigger than I thought. And so I called Susan. I'm like, send a crew over. And, you know, because it's a sump pump, it's not a regular coverage underneath your homeowner's insurance. It's actually a rider. Everybody should check to make sure that that rider box is applicable. They cap it at $2,500. And our loss is more than that, for sure. But especially because SurfPro is going to take a chunk of it. So hadn't heard from them in a while. She called me this week and she's like, hey, my boss was asking me about you and said, hey, he's your pastor, right? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, do you know him pretty well? And she's like, oh yeah, I know him pretty well, which I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but he's like, well, let him know that we're going to waive it. And this is like $1,400, wow. You know, which goes a long way to replacing my carpet at a time where economic instability is the name of the game. So, and I do think I see people just genuinely being like that to say, hey, listen, I can't even remember what it was. It was in Nepal, right? So it was a sandwich board in Nepal that was basically saying, hey, some of you are tourists in Nepal and you are stuck here, right? Well, we've got free lunch for you if that, as long as you need it, if that's what you need it. If you can afford to pay $6 for it, pay $6 for it. Otherwise, it's on us, right? I saw that. There's actually, I'm thinking about doing this, an escape room that has created like a printed off and play over Zoom with your friends escape room.
Seriously.
And it's just pay whatever you want, right? Pay whatever you can afford.
Wow.
So that's been really impactful. And I think even we talked a little bit about financial situation of our church.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we are five campuses as Harbor churches. We have 75, 80 employees as Harbor churches. We are 100% funded by donation. Right. And so we are looking and watching that, and we have a plan for when we're taking pay cuts and, you know, and the steps we'll take for that. And that's scary, but you have to, because I can't imagine our budget picture doesn't change while people are losing their jobs, you know, and
right.
Unemployment is through the roof. Of course it's going to change. Of course that's going to impact us. But as of right now, like we, at almost all of our campuses last week, our giving was over and above what it usually is on a given Sunday, right? On a given week. And so, And it's not because any one person bailed us out, right?
Sure.
Like,
right.
There are those with means in our congregations, but sure. It was because everybody did something. Like the people have rallied around this. And that has been my experience, not just in financial stuff, but even just like, how can we help our neighbors? You know, like people are going to the middle school behind my house and handing out food with a food service three times a week. You know,
that's amazing.
And that was the first thing that the schools did.
Right? I thought that was really cool. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It wasn't, let us figure out how to teach your kids some stuff and give you homework. It was, we're going to figure out how people get fed in our community. First thing.
Yeah.
Right.
When you look at like, you know, what Hand to Hand does and these school programs, I know like down in Saugatuck and Fenville, those school districts are providing 7 day a week meals.
Yeah.
To kids.
Right. Yeah.
You know, breakfast and lunch every day.
Which yeah, is New York City doing the same thing. Three meals a day, every day.
I have a friend who has a restaurant. It's in a little Caribbean place down in the Caribbean. And, of course, they're closed down. And but he said, you know what? I've got all these employees. And so every day He opens the restaurant for all of his employees and their families, 250 people. He feeds them every single day for free.
Wow.
Which I'm just like, holy cow. I mean, that's like amazing. I mean, just because he could just say, well, we're in no business. We're not doing anything.
Yeah.
But that kind of thing, that gives me hope for humanity to a degree, because we hear about so many horrible things and yet so many good things happen. My neighbor, you know, one of my neighbors has a little fledgling business, kind of little bakery business. And last weekend they decided that they were going to have a little program where they were going to make all these cookies, make really good cookies. For every dozen they sold, they donated a dozen to one of the hospitals in the community.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He sold out all his capacity in like an hour. They couldn't make anymore. Right. Yeah. Which is awesome. You know, really good to hear that kind of thing.
Well, the interesting, like the cultural move we've been in, and especially around like the millennials and what they care about. Right. Like we have made the move where people are now monetizing good work. Right. Because people, millennials in particular, want to be part of a mission. They want to do good in the world. They see good in the world. Right. They want to be engaged in good in the world. So so that's where you get like all kinds of, it is now good business sense to be involved in mission, no matter what company you run, right? Like how are you feeding orphans? How are you giving shoes to kids in Africa or giving, you know, bifocals to people who need them, whatever it might be. And it's funny that like we have been in that culture for about the last 5 to 10 years. And it has prepared us for this moment of saying it is normal for us to go, okay, well, how do we help each other? How do we do good for each other? And granted, there are plenty of people who don't, but there's a lot more people who do. And it's normal, at least in the worlds that I live in, to say, how do we feed kids? How do we help people? How do we make sure people have what they need? And that's...
It's given me hope for humanity. I mean, in a crazy kind of way.
Yeah, we're going to come out of this better than what we went into this, I think.
Yes. I agree with that. I think it has maybe changed perspective on what matters and maybe helped us be less self-focused and more outward-focused. You know, just realizing, hey, I don't need all that stuff and I don't need everything for me, but my friend at the church, they need something. Let me help them.
Yeah, because like you said, taking things for granted, right? Like, And now we've taken for granted that there is even our lifestyles we take for granted, which is in a booming economy system. Like, of course, you know, we don't think too much about that kind of stuff, those of us who are benefiting from it. But as soon as that gets turned off, you know, like all of a sudden now you start to realize what really matters. And, you know, it's less about what I'm paying for and what I'm buying. And it's a lot more about who I'm connected to. The interesting thing that will happen is that will flip as soon as we move out of this, because we will make spending money the virtue, right?
Yeah.
We'll make buying things the virtue, right? And I get it, right? Like how economies work, and that's an important thing. But the message we're going to receive is do your American duty and buy something and go on a vacation and like do all that stuff. And I just... That is spiritually very dangerous, I think.
Well, it is, and I think, you know, we have a very poor memory. And so the things that we've celebrated in this, we'll forget. It's kind of like, you know, the story of Jesus when he healed the folks and one guy comes back and Jesus is like, where are the other guys?
Yeah.
They've already forgotten about what
happened. They've already forgotten. Yeah.
They've moved on. Their whole life was impaired. Now it's been changed and they've forgotten about what happened. And we don't want that to happen to us, especially as Christians. You know, we hopefully, me, you, everyone we know is going to walk through this in such a way that we do place more value on relationships and on investing in others and on being outward focused and slowing down and doing less and getting more sleep and all the things that we should do that allow us to be a better reflection of Jesus, right?
Yeah. But, and whenever we hit the moment where this turns, all of those things are going to be the opposite message.
Exactly.
Get out, do more now, spend more. Like, I don't want to lose that. I'm hoping we're learning enough to, in some ways, in this, like, I hope we spend enough time in this space where it grounds us in these sorts of values that matter, you know, and that we can carry with us into the future of this thing. Honestly, yeah. Yeah. Because like right now, we have the opportunity to live differently.
Yes.
And if we just want to go back to the way things were before, we'll have missed what I think God is doing inside of each of our stories.
That is absolutely true. I agree 100%.
But I also want to go to the movies again, and I want to buy ice cream. So.
Okay, right? I can't argue with that. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Those things are fun.
Well, awesome. Thanks for being here today, Ken. That was a fun conversation. Thankful for you to say yes to being on the podcast here. And
my pleasure. It's great to connect with you. Great to see your face. I saw your face this morning when I watched Easter service, and now today I get to see it again. That's meaningful. So,
hey, it's such a little gift to be like, I see you again, right?
Well, I would like when all this is done that I may actually see you in person. Perhaps we'll have a meal together and
I can't
look
wait.
Each other across the table.
I can't wait. Well, yeah, thanks for joining Ken and I today. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at scott.pontier, P-O-N-T-I-E-R, at harborchurches.org. You can subscribe and listen to these conversations every week. We're trying to do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Just people processing through the world that we live in as we're all experiencing the same thing right now. So we realize we are isolated, but we are also not alone. So if this is helpful for you, subscribe, listen to us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Thanks for joining us.